We are still in Psalm chapter 119, and we're going to start the last really lesson that has several points, and a lot of these points have to do with one particular subject where they're kind of tied in together. So we're going to call the last lesson, well, it'll take us a few weeks, the influence of the Bible in our lives. And of course, as we get into the Bible and as we learn it and make it a part of who we are and we understand it, we try to apply it in our life. So we went through Proverbs, that's wisdom. Wisdom is taking God's truth, applying it to our life and living it. It's going to have a huge influence in our life. If you're a Christian and the Bible doesn't have any influence in your life, then something is wrong. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean that in a very practical way. Okay, that means we need to maybe get into it a little bit more, understand. So we're going to look at it, okay? We'll probably get through number one tonight. Look at number one. We need to understand this about the Word of God. God's Word is eternal and unchanging. God's Word is eternal and unchanging. Look at verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. A very famous verse. I'm sure we've all heard it. Psalm 119, of course, verse 152 says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. The key words here are the words forever, three times. When you think about forever, that takes us back and never stops taking us back. And that takes us forward and never stops taking us forward. God's word is eternal. There's no beginning and there's no ending. And settled means not changing. God's word is settled. It's set in, not changing, rock solid in heaven forever. Why is that important? Because all of our faith and all of our hope is dependent upon the Bible, the Word of God. And if the Bible is not eternal, if the Bible is not unchanging, then that could cause us some issues. But because the Bible is not, we're just fine. Remember, if Scripture is flawed, then our faith is unsure. In other words, if the Scripture is not 100% dead right, dead on, all the time, in everything that it says, then our faith, our beliefs, our life, our Christian life is going to be unsure. The word is settled because it is God's word. And so because it's the word of God, it has the character of God behind it. That's very important. You know, used to be, what do they say? A man is you know, a man's word, you know, used to just handshake a deal. Man's word is all I need. If you said it, that's true. Can I just tell you something? Those days are over. Okay? They're way over. You need a contract, all right, and sign that thing and make sure you know what you're saying. We had several years ago, we had a group, I won't say what it is, they did some work here that the port of Long Beach paid for, and so we had a contract. That's all the money you're getting. We're not paying a penny. The port of Long Beach is paying for it. And 6 months later, he has his lawyer call me and says, hey, it costs more money. You're paying it. I'm like, I ain't paying a penny. And he's like, fine, I'll get the lawyer. I said, hey, I'm glad to talk to him. We had a meeting in our office, and he just thought because he said that I should give him money, it's like, no. You gave your word that, well, you know, things changed. Well, guess what? The contract didn't change. Amen? He didn't get an extra penny from us. But it used to be, just be honest, if someone said it, their character, but it's not that way anymore. Now, with God, because his character is sure, he is God, so his word is always going to be right and spot on. It's settled. Now, many have tried to unsettle it, but it can't be reached. It can't be ruined because it's settled in heaven and they can't get to it. Remember the famous, many in the 1800s, the famous atheist Voltaire said this, in 50 years, I will have this book, holding up a copy of the Bible, I will have this book in the morgue. Now, 50 years later, he was in the morgue. And I believe it was the American Bible Society bought his house and started printing Bibles out of it, okay? So that didn't work too well for him. God's word is true and it cannot be changed. Look at verse 160. I believe those are in your notes there. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So not only is God's word eternal in its duration, it's true in every single declaration. When God says something, we don't have to hope. We don't have to, you know, is that true? It's true. It's over. It's settled. Okay? For as long as eternity will be, and as long as eternity past has already been, God's word will always be and always is true. Now, we can build our life on the rock of his word, and I'm giving you just a couple things here. Why? A, because it is eternal. Because it is eternal. All of us are going to build our life on something. There's going to be thoughts, philosophies, principles, or truths which we buy into, which we are going to use, or which are going to direct the path of our life. All of us do that. You say, well, I don't do that. Yes, you do. You live your life and you make your decisions based on some form or way of thinking. You just do. And we have to decide where that's going to come from. I just think it should come from the Bible. You know, by the way, you talk to somebody sometime and they might give you good advice and like, that was spot on. That's right. And other people tell you something, it's like, that was not spot on. That was dead wrong. But when we follow what God's word says, it's eternal, we know that it's going to be right. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 34 and 35. He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. And then he gives them a principle here. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. We'll hear about that in Revelation. But my words shall not pass away. Even this, you know, and I'm not, look, I'm not saying let's go get, you know, let's go destroy the ozone layer. But too many people are too worried about what's going on this earth. Okay? And again, I'm not saying let's go litter the whole place and all that. But the earth is kind of being worshipped. Do you know this world isn't going to last forever?
Right.
It's not. There'll be a new heavens. But you know what is going to last forever? God's word. His eternal word. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word's eternal and it stands forever. Now let me say this, and I need us to understand this. We purposely use the King James Bible. We don't use another Bible. Now if you're new and you use one, we can share with you why. They have been, and I'll talk a little bit more about, but they've been mistranslated, they're translated from wrong documents. The King James Bible is the right one. Now some people will get you, they'll say, well, you know, I believe the Bible is true in the originals. Now, what they mean by that is, if we're looking, say, at the book of Revelation, they believe the book of Revelation was true on the very document that John wrote on the Isle of Patmos, but not in copies. There can be errors. Now, I have a problem with that, because Jesus held and read and quoted copies and called them scripture. Okay? That's a smokescreen. Psalms also tells us that God preserves his word. And if God's word is not eternal, that means there's going to be some issues with it. The originals don't exist anymore. Okay, those were used up. It has been handed down by God and preserved for us. So if God's word's eternal, we have his word, the same word that he had in the past, in the present, or else he's not telling us the truth. Okay, we can trust the Bible when we read it.
Amen.
Quit watching the History Channel.
Yeah.
Okay? By the way, I remember when the History Channel used to be about history, too.
Yeah.
You know, I like history, but, you know, they'll tell you, oh, you know, gee, and he could have done this, and the gospel according to this guy, and this stuff. Listen. They're not God-fearing Christians, okay? There's an agenda there. Let's study God's word. Let's get into what God, it's truth, and it's right. And it is for us. He gave us his Bible. Some people believe that it's in, but don't fall for this. That's why you got to be careful. Even the guys listening, well, you know, there's some changes here and that's not right. And it's 94 to 99% true. Guy, when I used to work at the warehouse many years ago, we had a little thing and we could listen in our stations. We could bring tape players or whatever and listen to whatever we want. And a guy gave me a tape and said, hey, this is, I know you're, he was a Christian too. And he's like, hey, listen, this is a good message about the Bible. And I'm listening to it. And the guy goes, now, you know, the Bible's true. You know, there's some error and it's probably about 95% true. And I turned it off. Click. I'm like, now, how would you like to think that you're holding something that's supposed to be eternal, but only 95% of it's true? You know, my question would be, which 5% isn't true? Is it the 5% which tells me how I can go to heaven? Is it the 5% that talks about it? Well, you know, no foundational doctrine has been changed. You know, if you compare Bibles, that's not true. Other Bibles have been translated from corrupt documents, and the doctrines have been changed. Keywords are missing. Firstborn son. I mean, you know, they'll call him, they'll take out words to where it sounds like Jesus is Joseph's son. Bible never says that. By the way, the NIV and others do say that. There's the blood's taken, other key words, like, hey, that's kind of a big deal. So either we have God's word or we don't. And God has given us his eternal word. It's settled, and it's not going to pass away. Amen. It's not going to die. If we don't have the 100% of God's word on this earth right now, then it passed away. Yep. Part of it's gone. But that's not true. Thank God we have God's eternal word. Amen. Anything that chips at the authority of God's word is wrong. It's forever and it's available in pure form. Look at 2 Timothy. Why do we know God's word can be eternal and it's right? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Now, we all do it, like, you know, Philippians was written by Paul, okay? What we mean by that is Paul is the one who wrote the physical words. It's not the words of Paul. Sometimes people read stuff that Paul said and they don't believe it and say, well, you know, that's Paulinian theology. No, it's the Bible, okay? He was just the instrument to write it down. But it was given by inspiration of God. God gave the Bible through those men to write it down. And that's why it is true. And it cannot, you can look at it and you can't find anywhere where it's wrong. You just study some of it. When I was a brand new Christian, I read a book. I believe it was Evidence That Demanded a Verdict. And it was talking about prophecies in the Bible, some obscure prophecies, how they came hundreds of years later exactly true. And he would give the odds of what would be the odds that this would happen accidentally. And it's like, it's astronomical. You know? Look, it tells us where the Messiah was born. Now, I don't think Jesus figured that one out on his own. Okay? There's no way that Jesus could have fulfilled those prophecies, even if he tried. He didn't do it because he was, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. No. The Bible knew what was going to happen in the future. Why? Because it's true. It's given by inspiration of God. That's why it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we know God's word's eternal. We can build our life on that because it is. But it is also unchanging. It's unchanging. So you have to understand, there are those in this world that we would call cults. When I mean cults, they believe doctrines that pervert the truth of the scripture. We don't just throw that out there because, you know, look, there's Christians that'll believe, have minor differences on small, inconsequential things. That's not a cult. A cult is someone that believes false doctrine on foundational things, such as, who is Jesus? And you'll always find that cults, the first thing they will do, they will go after the scripture. Okay, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses. They call it the New World Translation. They believe that they have to, that you can't even understand the scripture yourself. And Charles Taze Russell, he retranslated it himself. And he made changes to it that are not in the original. That are not in the, it's just not there to fit his doctrine. And how do you know that? Because what they believe about Jesus, they do not believe of the Jesus, of the Bible, of the scripture. You always have to change it. You know, you ever see the Mormons? They're nice people and all that, but it's another testament of Jesus Christ. Because the world got away from the truth for hundreds and hundreds of years and got into darkness, and Joseph Smith saved us. My Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail, and they didn't prevail for 1,200 years. He came up with something brand new. How many of you have ever been to Salt Lake City? It's kind of boring anyhow, but we were there a couple summers ago. We went to the Mormon temple. By the way, Brother Tongdi went there one time too, and they kicked him out. He was trying to witness to him, and they didn't like that. But if you go into their main little thing there, and the first floor, it's pretty amazing. It's all Bible stories. And they have these incredible paintings, you know, of Isaac or whatever. And it's like the whole first floor, and you know, they even had, I took a picture of it. They had in the front, you know, preaching the gospel. They quoted one of the verses about the Great Commission. But you know what's funny? When you follow it down to the second floor, all the pictures and all the stories there are from the Book of Mormon. All the false, they don't throw that up front. They want people to come in like, oh, this is the Bible. Hey, let me get you downstairs to where the other Bible is. There is no other Bible.
Right.
Okay? There's one Bible. Right. And we didn't go dark. God's Word has always been there. And God's Word hasn't changed, and God didn't need an addition to it 1,800 years later. Okay, we'll get to Revelation. It tells us the writing of the scripture is finished. It's complete. We got everything we need. And by the way, whenever somebody wants to throw something new out there that no one else has ever heard, it's usually something that's not true. Okay, there's nothing new under the sun. But that's what happens. We change it. Well, the Bible is unchanging. That doesn't mean people have tried. You have to understand this. Look at the verse there in 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many, which corrupt the word of God. You see, even at the time that the scriptures were being written, there were people with false doctrine that were trying to corrupt the Bible. Yeah. Many of them came out of Alexandria. That's where the couple of texts come from that a lot of our non-King James Bibles were translated out of, and they have false doctrine. And it's gotten in there. And so, even in the Bible days, people were trying to, but you know what? Because God's word is eternal, and because God's word says it doesn't change, we have the pure scripture, okay? And so we have it. We need to understand that. Now, because it is eternal and unchanging, it has great qualities. Let me give you a few of these. First of all, it's complete truth. It's complete truth. Verse 151 says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, I don't like being lied to. Okay, you ever been lied to? It's like, just tell me the truth. Don't don't lie. Tell me the truth. And so, you know, we fall for something. But the Bible is always true. And that's important. We don't want to build our lives on something that's false. People get caught up in scams, right? You know, you do this. There used to be these emails years ago. I used to get a bunch of them back in the early days of the church, and people stopped, you know, I'm a Muslim, and I got saved, and my husband's got cancer, and I'm a multimillionaire, and I want to give money to your church. How many of you ever got one of those? Something like that. Yeah. You know, we want to give money to your ministry. It's a bunch of guys over in Ethiopia on the internet. That's what they're doing. And we had a lady in our church one time goes, hey, I'm going to help the church get some money. I just need some information. I'm like, where'd you get that? Oh, guy sent me an email. It's like, that's a scam. No one's just giving you money, all right? That's a lie. But that's a lie we could detect. I don't want my life to be built on a lie. See, so many of us, if we're not careful, we'll follow a philosophy of life, and we won't check it out against the scripture. And we follow our life, and then it doesn't turn out very well, or we get burned by it. If we would have just only known the truth, we wouldn't have fallen for it. That's why it's vitally important that we know the scriptures, because truth is vitally important. Also, it is incorruptible. It is incorruptible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is incorruptible. You can't corrupt it. Now, there are those who have tried, but the pure word is always going to be around. God's always going to have his word for us. Next, it conveys the way of salvation. Conveys the way of salvation. But the word of God endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Really, that is really a main reason, one of the main reasons the Bible is very, very, very important that we understand that it's true. Because our eternal destiny is balanced on what we believe about Jesus Christ. And what we believe about Jesus Christ and who he is and how we get to heaven through him only is because of this word. That's why it's vitally important that we understand that it is true. You try to be good, and if you have more good than bad, you can make it. Where does that philosophy come from? It doesn't come from the scripture. You know, you just do your best and you know, do unto others what you would have. No. The golden rule. That's not it. The Bible is very clear about the way of salvation. That's why when we talk to people, we're not trying to coerce them into salvation. We give them the truth of the scripture, and the Spirit of God uses the truth of the scripture to convict them of their need for Christ so they will trust him. Just stick with the truth. And I'm glad that we have the way of salvation. We have something worth putting our trust in. It's pure. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. What does pure mean? It's just pure. There's nothing wrong, bad or wrong in it. If you take some, well, it's 99.9% pure. Well, you know what that means? It's 0.1% unpure. Okay, how many of you would drink something that's 99% pure and 1% arsenic? Well, it's only 99%. I mean, it's only 1%. Come on. There's 99% of it that's good. No, God's word is completely pure. There's nothing wrong with it. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Now he boils it down. Not just thy word, every one. He is a shield unto them that trust in him. Now, before we finish, I do want us to understand that like the written word, the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, is eternal and unchanging also. Okay? Very important. Jesus Christ, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. Okay? Jesus Christ wasn't just a good teacher. That's not an option. Sometimes you ask people, what do you think about Jesus? Well, you know, he's a prophet. He's a good teacher. He was a good man. No, he was none of those things if he's not God. Because he claimed to be God. And so someone who claims to be God, if they're lying to you, they're not a prophet, they're not a good person, and they're not a good teacher. Okay? That's not our option. So we can build our lives on the Word of God and trust in Christ, and then build our life around Christ through his Word, because he is God and he is who he said he was. We learn that in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Many people say, well, Jesus nowhere claimed to be God. Actually, yes, he did. That's why they tried to stone him. The Bible tells us very clearly here that he's God. And because he's God, he is unchanging and he is eternal, and we can trust him. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray.